You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
The show is a bit messy already. Greg Cody comes in proudly and brings us an ever-flowing river of content diarrhea, and we are grateful for it on Tuesdays, Wednesdays. It's why we fully support the Greg Cody Show featuring Greg Cody.
With?
The podcast that stars Greg Cody. You can get it wherever it is that you get your podcasts.
Damn
he
right.
is feeling remorse now. Chris, I don't need to tell you about your father, Chris, because he just made good content. I just told him during the break, my God, Greg, it has been a career highlight to have a podcast episode described as Who Killed Charles Bricker? These murder podcasts are doing great. I want to get
we're
into
it. We're not even certain he's dead.
No, we're not. And this is why the mystery will unfold over the show. I am hell-bent on finding Charles Bricker, bringing an end to this. Finding a show, I need the close of this postgame today, finishing up with we have healed this wound with Charles Bricker. They are reunited. Greg Cody forgives him. Everything is okay. Charles Bricker's not dead. Hooray.
So I reached out to Dave Hyde, who used to work with Charles
Pick
Bricker.
Up that name.
And I totally came out of left field. He hadn't heard the name Charles Bricker in almost 20 years.
Of course.
He went to check a phone book, like an actual physical phone book.
No, he didn't.
To see if he had a contact for Charles Bricker. And he revealed to me that half the people in the phone book were dead.
No.
No. So
we remain junk drawer.
We remain hot on the trail. Unfortunately, no contact for Charles Bricker came out of that conversation with Dave Hyde.
I want the payoff at some point. Our show is not good at payoffs. You're about to learn just how bad we are at payoffs. A gambling company gave us a whole lot of money, and I don't know what they expect from their betting around here, but we're not that. I don't know if anyone told DraftKings that, but I just saw the research.
We're Charles Bricker.
I just saw the research that Stugatz put into what he's about to pick.
Yeah.
And it is not great expertise that is recommending our bets to you. Mike Ryan does actually do this. He wagers all the time. He is looking for edges. He is looking for spots. He's just looking for action. But he is a little more informed than Stugatz is right now as he scrolls through the baseball schedule and just looks for horses who are pitching.
Exactly right. Not many horses out there, Dan. I got to tell you, there's only a few left, and they're all in the Mets.
I got my ass handed to me this morning by Dan Straley. First start in years out in the KBO.
Oh, wow.
These bets of ours have not been working. I just heard a funny conversation between you and Tony where you ask, how did your UFC parlay do? And he's like, well, we started 2-0, and Mike's like, you lost.
It always starts that way.
Yeah, a hot start. We had Sergey Pavlovich, who beat Derek Lewis. No, that was a dub.
No. I'm just saying. I can already tell how you're speaking.
Your response is, it started off. That means it's an L.
Okay. Nothing better than hitting that first leg of a parlay.
The second leg, Brandon Moreno beats Kai Kara France, and we are steaming. And all of a sudden, you know, Juliana Pena goes five with the Lioness. It wasn't her father.
Listen to me, Tony.
You got to hedge that, Tony.
Tony.
Well, I did. Personally.
You are trying to vie to be our UFC expert. You've seen there's a lane. There's a lane. You're trying to get in it.
Yeah.
And the show would be called Fade Tony.
And well, you've won.
Phony.
Like, there you go. Let's do it right now. The Fade Tony Phony. Let's do that. I want that to be that. I want that to be our bet today. Whatever it is, I don't even want what Stugatz's opinion.
So we want.
I found a horse.
Phony to look at the board.
No, listen.
Tell
to
us
me.
What he likes
I,
and fade him.
I don't
him.
Care how this confuses people. This is what I wish this to be because the way we're doing it is not the correct way. If we want to do these stupid winning Wednesdays and not keep losing winning Wednesdays because our picks are shitty, I want a Fade Tony Phony Wednesday DraftKings special of the week. So, Tony, you tell us what you think is going to happen in sports today, and we're going to bet the other way on that.
It's Phony Wednesday. Let's do this. I got a good one.
Excellent.
I'm all in. I don't know what the odds are. Again, I've never talked to anybody. I have no idea what's over
there. Doesn't matter.
Wait. Let's wait for the phony imaging.
Mm-hmm. You have imaging?
We work fast around here, Dano. I'm all in. Lock of the century tonight. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. That's what they're still called.
Oh, God.
Tukey Toussaint on the bump. Personal friend of mine, by the way.
Is this why we're doing it?
He's 1-0 with a 4.3 ERA. Guy is
that's not
money.
Good.
Nah, don't worry about that.
He's 1-0 with a 4.3.
Don't worry about
A's.
That.
No, they're playing the A's today.
1-0.
Yeah, I'm feeling the Angels. Big.
All right, so
I'm
we're
gambling
taking,
again, guys.
So we're taking the A's. We need to make
yeah,
a parlay.
I
just want to point out it's a 3:37 first pitch for that game.
Yeah, official winning Wednesday will be the opposite of what Tony says, or we're going to put up what Tony says and the audience is supposed
to
fade
it. Well,
this
is the research that went into the Stugatz thing. We're doing it too early. We can't do the games too early because this goes up later tonight. And we are doing in the morning. This is our DraftKings brainstorming meeting on how we get to a winning Wednesday when every time I ask, hey, did you guys win that parlay? The answer is, well, we started. And we're like, loss, wrong, loser. Now Tony is saying Angels big, but that's a 3:37 game. So now we've got to do a different Fade Tony Phony.
Right. We need to get as many people in the tent as possible to win money with us. That's the idea. So Tony, back to the drawing board.
Luckily, I have one.
Tony, can you give it a little more thought?
Yeah, no, this one, I've thought about this one very quickly. Sonny Gray tonight. 6-3 with a 3-1 ERA. Yeah, against the Dodgers. You get a little juice with this one.
The Dodgers have covered eight straight runs.
Tony thinks we're still in 2015 with Sonny Gray.
He's a twin.
All right, so this is the Twinkies. Fade. All right, so if it's the Fade Tony Phony, then it's Dodgers big there, correct, Mike? If it's the Fade Tony Phony.
Yeah, we got to lay the juice on the Dodgers, but it's okay. It's a parlay, so we're going to do it. Is there a club? Are you in a nightclub? There's a strobe light going on.
Weird.
This is the Fade Tony Phony DraftKings nightclub. Let's go. I want more fun around this thing. If we're going to lose, I don't want the laughter to be gone.
I mean, lose.
Man, these guys suck at this. I'd like there to be a party around the loss.
So we're taking the Dodgers to get the run line win. All
yes. Right. Now, the run line, Mike, because perhaps people don't bet baseball if we're teaching them. I don't know how rudimentary you want to do this, but the run line, the Dodgers need to win by more than one run.
And they've done so at like an epic pace recently.
Ah, they're due.
Yep.
You don't want to get in front of a streak, winning or losing.
Just so that people know where my ignorance resides on this, because I am pretending to no one to be an expert. I find the run line to be a truly terrible bet. I am exasperated by the number of baseball games that are decided by one run.
Yeah, but when you're staring at 305 to win 100 and the run line can take it down to 155 to win 100, it's awfully tempting. I mean, it is.
But I don't...
But understand, if you win by a run, you lose, okay?
I'd like to... What I don't know, and our gambling is not expertise, what I don't know is it a good bet? Is the run line bet in baseball actually a good bet? Because it seems to me like it might be a bit of a sucker's bet.
I think the Dodgers have won 9 straight run lines, so...
Trend must end.
Is this ABBA?
Trend must end.
Yes. So trend is your friend, but the trend must end.
Yeah.
All right. He's so right. Well, we've got rhymes. I appreciate that because it made me think of what Dan Campbell did last night.
But we need it to be a parlay. So that's
good thing I got another one.
You have another one? Good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A phony.
Paul Goldschmidt is a Cardinal.
He's a Hall of Famer.
And he is ripping right now.
He might be the NL MVP.
Yeah,
he's not. Game one again. Yeah.
But he's going against Kyle Freeland and the Rockies.
Oh, my. No, wait a minute.
That's right.
The Rockies pounded him last night.
That's right. The Cardinals. Going for two in a row.
The Cardinals are going to be a giant favorite in that
game. I'm all over the Rockies.
So now we got to go Cardinals run line as well, because Cardinals are going to be a giant favorite in that game.
They're not a huge favorite. Minus 165. All right. But the run line is a nice... traditional minus 110. Hmm. That is our two legs. Yes. Boy, we are chalk.
Okay, we are always chalk and we always lose. And Tony,
I'm underdog here,
Tony,
Dan.
Tony,
Dan, I'm the underdog.
Tony,
here.
Tony.
What do you want me to do? I picked you two winners, two teams that if you parlayed those two together, you'd be making a lot of money.
Yep, a lot of money.
Price is out to round 320 plus 320.
Ah,
wow. Not bad. So we take it.
Chris Cody, are you giving us any expertise here? Please add a little to the nightclub flavor of this. The phony Tony, the fade Tony phony.
I'm riding phony all night long, Dano.
I've been doing it for months.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Lebatard.
He said while you were off there, while the connection was bad, he had mentioned that you have lost a lot of weight and that he admires that. What got into you? Why did you decide? I thought it was all, I thought we enjoyed being about the munchies.
Yeah.
Oh, it's slurring again. Okay, the connection is bad again, unfortunately.
Back to Magnus.
Okay, back to Magnus for Magnus. And this is going about as well as it could go. Thank you, Billy, again for laughing in my face.
Stugatz.
Magnus. Mean, I am, which is the worst. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, sir, Action.
Hello?
Action.
Man, I'm really sorry. This is literally the worst way to ever do this. This is burning my heart that this is happening. But if you could hear me, just understand, I'm sorry.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
No longer the local hour, but I have wanted to get to 2 days of Mike Ryan on what's going on as college football approaches, as I see The Rock involved with the University of Miami's facilities. And we are in Miami right in the middle of this giant seismic change of we're going to go from amateurism to this is all made for television minor league football. Never mind the XFL, any of the other leagues. College football is the closest thing to Kingsport, and now Miami's in the game with giant locker rooms and spending and The Rock, and it's big and it's loud and it's ridiculous. It's funny because Miami's one of the teams spilling money over the bar as everyone realizes conference realignment. It's a free-for-all. Lane Kiffin's going to join us to talk about some of the free-for-all here. But the big business has arrived. And Mike, you've already seen the University of Miami is already a new place physically.
Yeah, they touched up the you said there were gigantic locker rooms. On the internet, people are pointing out how narrow it is in some spots. It's the old Green Tree locker room that you're used to, just with brand new state-of-the-art lockers, and there's a cool LED lighting system, and it looks really cool. Keep in mind that this is just a placeholder. The university announced construction on $100 million brand new football facility that'll make those locker rooms look like something of the past. And this is just to keep in line with the times, because I don't know if you've seen some of the locker rooms out there. I know LSU has ridiculous ones. I wish I had an LSU locker as my bed.
They should be spas. Like, they should be these giant, amazing, top of the line. It's a football factory where these guys are giving their bodies over to the business. They should work in an environment that is always taking care of their bodies.
Right. These are some of the luxurious amenities that you should get, especially if you're not actually getting paid for play. It's all about what kind of amenities can I get for my experience. And for far too long, University of Miami was tailing far behind. But it's allowed for this weird banter on social media for all sorts of fan bases to post photos of their locker rooms thinking that they're hot shit. And some of them are covered in formica. I mean, Florida, what are you doing? You don't come into a locker room fight with formica. You just don't.
Put it on the poll, Roy. Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Do you ever come in a locker room fight with formica?
Miami is catching up on facilities. And one of the things they're doing, in addition to the five-story building you referenced, they're extending the indoor practice facility. They're doubling it. They're extending it by 150 feet. 50%, I
should
say.
Yeah, most indoor practice facilities aren't the full traditional 100 yards.
Right.
So they're making it bigger. You mentioned that The Rock is now involved. The Rock has had his name on that that locker room for quite some time, and now they finally got around to just keeping up with the times. But the new facility should put that one to shame.
I guess the thing that I was wanting to talk about is that as soon as we all realized the pandemic, oh my God, it's a total free-for-all on tens of millions of streaming dollars as live sports is a monster. All the streaming giants want to get involved in owning Saturdays. Are you guys not super amazed that what now sprouts up around these factory-built bodies that need cryogenic chambers? Because these are now factories that are, the employees are getting more valuable, and you must give them opulence. You must make it feel palatial and make it bigger than the next guy's facility, because you want to at least look like you care for your human being more than the other guys care for their human being because you've got more money than they do.
But amazed in what way? Like, why would I be? I mean, that's where college football has shifted to. It's been there for a while in some schools, and now it's just, it's everywhere, including here.
It is. It has just, like, Miami's just getting to the locker room game and the palatial facility game. This has been college football for, it kind of feels like Oregon was the first one to make a really big deal of their facilities.
Clemson built, like, I think $60 million indoor facility that had the slide in it that the lady broke her ankle on sliding down.
Is that where they baptize players?
Unsure. I think are you referring to the Auburn basketball thing this weekend?
No. No, I know for a fact Clemson was baptizing players on the practice field.
Well, that wasn't what I was going to mention, but I've heard people say, like, already their indoor facility is lacking some of the amenities that the brand new ones have. Like, the keeping up with the Joneses has accelerated
Miami just got new facilities and they're not good enough. It was a big deal when we got our indoor practice facility. That happened when Mark Richt was here. Now they've already realized it's outdated. Outdated, and they need to make a new investment. Dan, you mentioned the pandemic. I think even larger than NIL, the pandemic made everybody know, and it fast-tracked, hey, this is a business, because they played college football during that. They moved hell and high water to make sure that there was.
They moved mountains.
What it was, come hell or high water. Yeah,
there was hell and high water around the mountains, and they moved the mountains.
You seize on my lack of confidence. I appreciate you for that. I'll keep that in mind in my back pocket. I'll get you back, asshole. But they just gave everybody an extra year of eligibility, and they said, we're getting this season in no matter what. There were conferences like the Big Ten and the Pac-12 that had their reservations.
The Ivy League didn't even play.
Ivy League ended up playing a spring season. So did some of the lower divisions in football. It's still Division II to me. I'm still going to call it that. And they just pushed forward. And then everybody knew, okay, there was a negotiation with the players. You're going to give us an extra year of eligibility. And now it's just a cash grab. I don't know if you've seen the numbers. I know, Jess, this has interest to you because it is Notre Dame adjacent. But Big Ten is no longer going to have a presence on ESPN, it looks like. They negotiated a deal with all the major networks except for ESPN. And the draw right now is to just open up new markets. And it doesn't matter about travel anymore. You could be in San Francisco. That's why Samford has some appeal. Or you can be in Miami if you are a Midwestern conference. It doesn't matter anymore. Let's open up TV markets.
I want to talk about being in the middle of what is not just an evolution. It's a revolution. You're seeing it's just as everyone scampers for the dollars. And we're going to get Chief Mercenary on here, Lane Kiffin, to cut through it because he's already told you, yep, going to be like baseball, payroll. The best teams have the best bankrolls. And now we're going to business. But when you guys say and skip right past baptized on the field, and I don't even do this to mock religion, I thought it was understood. I thought we all knew that Clemson, the Clemson football program, lived in some sort of lifestyle bubble that could be culty. A giant lifestyle bubble of cultiness.
Every college football fandom, I think. Also, Dan,
Texas A&M is next level.
Yeah,
well, Texas A&M is a cult, and it's very disarming when they reply back, yes, we are a cult.
I thought you were going to mention the New York Times controversial article that New York's hottest nightclub is now the Catholic Church. But no, you went the other way. Yeah, I mean, sports fandom in general is extremely culty, Dan.
I thought Clemson and baptisms on the field and what I'm saying is lifestyle campus. That once Clemson got in the game of we are no longer a laughingstock, it was very recently Clemson's always going to Clemson. Then Dabo gets there and he comes shouting of miracles and they're doing baptisms on the field and one of their coaches is speaking slave language or whatever it is that got a coach in trouble at Clemson. Because they had something that Dabo's been stepping in and again as a sort of religious leader. And I understand what you're saying, but I've assumed that Clemson has had the best facilities. Like once anybody gets to the top, they get the best facilities because they become lifestyle campuses.
Yeah, like Clemson has invested a lot into their football program that they historically like weren't really keeping up with the top teams until after Dabo was hired and promoted as the head coach. And that all happened like while I was a student there, like 20, 2012-2013 was kind of the turning point. They got a couple really good five-star recruits, starting with like CJ Spiller, and then Taj Boyd was really good. Sammy Watkins was a huge recruit. And then DeAndre Hopkins.
All-star
team.
Clemson became right there. Clemson became big time. We can challenge Alabama power.
It kind of slowly, like the really high rated recruits started kind of slowly coming in. Dabo was a really good coach. Brent Venables became one of the best coordinators in college football. And so as they became more successful and saw how good it was for business, they put more and more money into it, won a national championship. And I think the school has probably seen, I've heard like friends of mine who are younger and live in South Carolina say how much harder it is to get into Clemson now because so many people apply from out of state. So it's good for business. It's good for the university because when I went to Clemson, no one in Chicago knew where it was or what it was. And now I don't think there's a single high schooler that doesn't know Clemson because of the football team.
Stugatz, I love after all these years that all of us in this room have seen the way that college sports again and again from becoming the truly giant business it could have been was always stuffed under the repressed skirt of academia, not trying to become a business. And like the skirt has blown up off of this. You know what I mean? Like it was it's amazing to think of the idea of like Mark Emmert squatting to keep all this down because we can't get to the business because we've got to do these bogus NCAA rules that nobody but the NCAA cares about as like business leaks everywhere.
I am certain that Greg Cody hates today's college football because he thinks books is enough. Room and books, they're enough for a kid to go break his body and create millions of dollars for college universities. But Dan, I miss it already. I miss the old college football. I miss wondering if every coach is cheating. I miss wondering what programs are doing to lure certain players.
But now you know they're all cheating, right?
Yeah, I know, but I miss, but there was always like a shat, like some doubt with certain programs, and now there's none. And I miss those days. It's kind of like gambling. I miss, okay, meeting a bookie in a back alley and handing him some money. I do. Now I just wire it. I mean,
I do miss the honor among thieves element. Yeah. Yeah, I don't like Nick Saban openly complaining to the NCAA
Correct.
To enforce rules that he's been breaking for years.
I miss it.
Let's just, it's mutually assured self-destruction. Like, just stop doing it.
We will get back to as soon as the players get paid, Stugatz arrives at, I don't like it. Stop it. Not everybody knock it off. I don't like the way we're doing things new now. I pine for the old style game where Mark Emmert was in charge and nobody got any money except Mark Emmert. But let's go.
No, but they were getting money. That's my point. But you were left to wonder. Are they getting money?
Okay. Yes. The mystery is gone out of it. It's too naked, the commerce. Let's go to Mike Scher's stat of the day here. I don't know where he's calling us from. I don't know what the stat of the day is, but let's do it.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
It is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hello, Mike. Where are you joining us from today?
I'm still in New York City, Dan.
Okay.
The city's so nice, they named it twice. And because I'm in New York City, I have a Yankee stat for you. Aaron Judge, the Yankees outfielder, is 6'7", 282 pounds. That means that he is taller and or weighs more than the following athletes. PJ Tucker, Draymond Green, Travis Kelce, Jason Taylor, TJ Watt, JJ Watt, Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, Vaughn Miller, Jadeveon Clowney, George Kittle, Miles Garrett, Mean Joe Green, Ted Hendricks, the Mad Store, and Rob Gronkowski, and he is 2 pounds lighter than Aaron Donald.
Wow. So he's big. Your stat of the day is he's
a
big.
Large man.
Okay, so we're calling in. You're one of the great comedy minds of our time. You're calling in, and your stat of the day is that Aaron Judge is big.
I just don't think people truly understand how big he is. He's bigger than Miles Garrett. the Yankees have an outfielder who's bigger than Miles, significantly bigger, taller, and weighs more. I also have a bonus stat of the day for you.
Oh, wow.
The bonus stat of the day.
Yes, yeah.
This is courtesy of Samir Khalif at Defector. This year, Boston Red Sox pitcher Chris Sale has broken three bones and made two starts. more broken bones than starts in 2022.
The comedic expertise that we were looking for right now.
Excellent.
Aaron Judge is having an historic season to put him within one of the major league lead for home runs since 2018. That's right. Aaron Judge does not have the most home runs in Major League Baseball since 2018. Mike, who would you guess is the leader at 147 home runs?
Since 2018, Nelson Cruz.
Not on the list.
Good guess, though. Always a good guess.
Always. Put yeah. it on the poll, please, Roy. Is Nelson Cruz always a good guess?
The answer is Eugenio Suarez.
Who?
What?
Really?
Shock.
There is real and genuine
Former
shock
Red,
in the room.
Now he's a Mariner.
Mike, before you get out of here, because I want to get your thoughts in a second on what's going on with college football and the business of college football, to see if you have any interesting curiosities that have been stimulated by all this conference play and TV. Just it's going to be made for TV minor league football. But before we do that, Mike, Stugatz was at the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Stugatz has been showing everybody some video from the Hall of Fame, and in one of the videos, it appearing to eat a small fruit cup, Stugatz thrust his camera in this Hall of Fame sacred room that he shouldn't have been in the face of one Ted Hendricks,
yeah.
And what he shouted at him, because he did not know it was Ted Hendricks, is, introduce yourself. And I thought it was a heady play.
I had to do it. I was thinking about it. I was sweating. I didn't know who it was. He hasn't aged well. And I said,
he
didn't look like the Ted Hendricks I grew up watching naturally. How could he? I mean, it's 40 years later. And so I said, introduce yourself to the audience. You know,
where does this video exist? Have you filled out any of the Super Follow paperwork?
I'm getting to it. I mean,
Mike, what are your thoughts on what's going to happen to college football this year?
I have no idea. This is very far from my area of expertise. The only thing that I really understand or follow in college football is the saga of whether Notre Dame is going to join a conference, which I know you've talked about ad nauseum. My wife went to Notre Dame, and so I've been, I'm a Michigan fan. I was born in Ann Arbor. Mm. And so I've rooted against Notre Dame my whole life. And I married into like the number one Notre Dame family in the continental United States. So I have taken an interest in Notre Dame football. And I believe that the traditional attitude is no way, no how, but I feel like the tide is turning, and they're like, at some point, they're just going to have to, I think. I don't know. This is not really, I have no information for you that you haven't gotten already from Skipper or any number of other people, but it just feels like there's this inevitable draw into like four or five mega conferences, and that everybody, including Notre Dame, is going to have to be part of one of them, because that's going to be the only path forward.
I don't know about that. Mike, since you brought up Notre Dame, are you at New York City's hottest nightclub right now, the Catholic Church?
Are you referring to my background here?
No, I'm referring to the controversial New York Times piece yesterday that New York's hottest nightclub is the Catholic Church.
Oh, yes. I saw the headline and did not read it. I don't know.
It's what I
Who
do.
Knows what the... Yeah. Those Times pieces that go viral every so often are just like, what are we doing here? Why? Why are we all talking about this? Why did they write it, and why are we talking about it? What was the point of that piece? I didn't read it.
I guess youths
are getting interested in Catholicism?
Like, yeah, it's like there's like maybe a handful of people that are trendy that live in New York that have converted to Catholicism recently, so we're going to write a New York Times article about it.
Is it one of those New York Times pieces where someone writes this trend piece that turns out to be just like two of that person's friends have become Catholics?
That's what I've seen a lot of people that have called it that, yes.
Mike,
yeah,
see you later. We appreciate the stats of the day, although I don't know if you feel horrified that Mike Ryan emerged with a stat that was better than both of your stats.
That's a great stat. First of all, it's not better than the fact that Chris Sale broke three bones and made two starts,
yeah,
but that's a great stat.
The judge
I have no problem
one, I mean, Poor judgment.
Yes, but let's do Chris Sale, though. So you've got a broken wrist from a bike accident. You've got a fractured rib cage, right? You've got
his rib in February. He broke his pinky on a comebacker in his second start. And then while recuperating from the pinky healing, he broke his wrist in a bike accident and is now done for the year. It's been a great season.
He pitched 5.2 innings this season, and he pitched 42.2 innings the season before that. But Chris Sale, as a Boston pitcher, you had that magical 2-year run, did you not? Magical 18 months.
If you go back and actually look at it, it's not the most magical. It's not as magical as you think. He was on the mound in the ninth inning when they closed out the Dodgers in 2018, and everybody remembers it as a magical season. He actually didn't pitch that great that year. And he signed an extension. He signed a 5-year, $145 million extension after 2019. He then immediately had Tommy John surgery and missed all of 2020, which is the COVID shortened season. But then he threw 42 innings last in 2021 and 5 innings this year. So it's been $90 million for 47 innings since he signed his extension.
Yeah, but you did get the 2 years in 17 and 18. You did get 2 years where he was right around a 2.3 ERA and not injured, by the way.
No, he was very good. The reason he signed got the extension is because he was very good. Joe Posnanski has been writing about this recently, about like what counts as a good contract. Like Jason Hayward just got released from the Cubs, and he was paid $184 million, including money next year that they're just going to give him to go away. And the question is like, is that a good contract? He didn't play very well for them. He never hit well for them. He was a good base runner and a good outfielder, but they won that World Series. And apparently in that rain delay, before they came back in game 7, he gave the big speech that like rallied the team. And so the question is like, is that a good contract?
Yes.
And I think most Cubs fans would say yes, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So
I think all of the contract math in that sport is changing, where what you're paying for with these 15-year contracts and the Soto money is, can you give me 4 or 5 really rocket star years and I'll do what? And then it'll look at the end like Chris Sale does, because I remember the people making the arguments on behalf of what a good acquisition that was for those 2 years.
Yeah, that I was one of those people. In fact, I get mocked relentlessly on my text thread that I have with Bill Simmons, which again, Dan, you're more than welcome to join the Boston Sports text thread I have going with Mike
O'Malley.
Would you
ask him, get to the bottom of this. He hasn't been returning my calls. Get to the bottom of this. Ask him in the text. Tell him I'm trying to reach him. Why is he not returning my calls?
Don't do that.
I will. But the point is that I get mocked because I was very much in favor of this extension when they signed it. I thought that it was a great move because he was like 29. And he had pitched really well, and he was an ace. And so I was like, yeah, sure, throw the money at him. Why not? And it's been a total disaster. So,
but is it a good contract, though, is what I'm saying. Like, if you get – is the new math going to be, if I get 3 years and a championship out of you, if I get 3 great years, we're going against the Dodgers. They've got the regional TV money. We're going to just strip this down to bare bones of, oh, wow, we've been underpaying all of these guys. The stars, Soto's going to get, you know, Trout's going to be cheap in a few years. Giancarlo Stanton was just the first of these. Like, everybody's realized that the money's poured all over the place. So if you do get somebody who makes you relevant the way Hayward did, is it a good contract?
Well, I think potentially, yes. The problem with Sale is all the good stuff he did was before the contract.
Correct.
So the contract is a pure extension. But I think that what you're going to see, this is my prediction, if you want my prediction, I think there are going to be more contracts like the one Scherzer signed for the Mets that are like 3 years, $160 million. Like, I think that people are going to go crazy money short years. Like, that has started to happen now is for some of the older guys like Scherzer. But I think that you're going to start seeing that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if someone offered like Otani or Soto or something like $200 million for 4 years. And the players would say like, okay, I'll make $200 million. I'll still be a free agent. Soto would be a free agent when he's 29 or 30 again. So he could sign another deal and he would have already made that money. I think like Carlos Correa's deal in Minnesota, it was a 3-year deal for like $100 million. He has an opt-out after year one and year two. So he can leave whatever he wants. And I think that that's going to start providing the players with the money they want and the teams with the flexibility they want, so they don't get caught with these deals where they owe people $50 million at the end of the year. That's Greg Cody calling me.
Oh, a hotel landline.
Mike is right, though, by the way. That extension was 2020. They gave him the extension off the good years. Since then, he's made 14 appearances.
Okay, but let's do it another way. Yes, of course, that doesn't end up being a good contract. But Jessica, Hayward's one of the worst contracts in sports. Like Hayward was
won a World Series.
The pep talk, yeah. The rain delay pep talk,
worth every
World
penny.
Series.
Yep.
He gave them a pep talk because he knew what it was. Mike was right. He knew what it was to be on a winning team, to be a champion, and the Cubs needed that in that moment because they were losing momentum. Joe Maddon screwed up the rotation. We don't have to go back into the Joe Maddon thing again, Dan. Yeah. Do you want me to talk about
that
Joe Maddon again?
That makes it all worth it. It makes it all worth it. One of the worst. I think of Jason Hayward. I think of terrible contract. But yes, you've got that emotional story.
And pep talk.
The Cubs stink again. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the time. Call us from all over the world.
I'll see you tomorrow.
You're right, Dan.
I'm just disturbed by us arriving at a point where the Jason Hayward contract can be a good contract because he made a speech. The contracts. I am now the guy complaining about money in other people's pockets.
But a World Series winning speech, Dan. Big difference.
Where are you putting that Ted Hendricks video?
Super Twitter followers.
Introduce yourself.
Do you have a back in my day, Greg?
No. I do have a bit, but back in my days are Tuesdays only.
Okay. Got a different bench.
Wednesday days.
Right, so it is Wednesdays.
Yep.
Okay,
you're consistent.
So wait, I fear, Chris, do you know anything that's happening here? Because I fear leaving your father untethered. Last time we did that, it was a taped bit that we winced our way through. He says he's got a bit. Do you know anything about this? We can't go this in. We can't throw this into the show unvetted.
I do know about this. This is a cause that he's tried to pick up. It's a Jalen Rose cause that my dad's just turned it into a narcissistic thing.
Oh, like, you're talking about the podcast.
Oh, I thought that's the bit you're talking about. I mean, how many bits do you have in your holster?
The podcast is Mount Greg Moore oriented, and because we have a big petition drive at change.org to change the name of Mount Rushmore to Mount Gregmore.
Yes, I mean, really he's taking off Jalen's thing, and it's just like, oh, look,
yeah,
and Mount it's Greg, really taken off. He just wants to say Mount Gregmore. He's not actually for the cause.
Well, I am, you know.
Yeah. Jalen opened the door
for
you.
What is the cause, yeah. Greg? Yeah. We could have, what is the cause?
Okay, well, okay, Mount Rushmore is built on stolen land.
Oh, for
land.
The love of God, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Anti-Native Americans. I'm sorry over here. It was stolen land, and the U.S. Supreme Court said so and gave the Lakota Indians $17 million in the 1980s, not to mention two of the four presidents immortalized were slave owners. So there are many reasons to change the name of Mount Rushmore.
But, Dad,
Jalen
to your name, though.
But
to
Dad,
your
to
name.
Mount Gregmore.
But, Dad, you're right. That. But not Dad,
opportunity.
My dad's idea on the Greg Cody show was, let's really push for Mount Gregmore to be the new name. And then Yeti had to come in and, like, tell him all that stuff he just said.
No, obviously, I knew that. It's in the description of the petition. If you read it, I knew all that stuff.
You drew it up.
Yeah, and as I mentioned in the petition, none of the dark past or sins associated with Mount Rushmore are associated with Mount Gregmore.
Is it still on the same land?
It is.
We can't have you take the stolen land.
Might want to move
no, what's going to happen is, under Mount Gregmore,
and you're keeping the president's
you get
faces,
the land. You
under
get
Mount,
the land.
No, under Mount Gregmore, 50% of all the profits from visitors are going to go to North Native American causes.
That's very nice.
Where's the other 50%?
North American?
Native American. Native American causes.
So what he's saying, do you realize the Stugatz deal he's just making? This is the deal he just made.
A little high.
Okay, nobody gets anything for this land right now. Okay, give the land to me. I will monetize it. And
right.
I think the federal government gets money, right? It's a national park.
It does, but now 50% of it's going to go to Native Americans.
Yeah.
And the fifth face on Mount Rushmore is going to be mine simply because it's called Mount Gregmore.
Duh.
Well, right. Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
You have Mount Gregmore?
That's not the bit he was doing for today's show, evidently. What is the bit? I'm hesitant to do any of this.
Okay.
What is the bit we're doing right now?
The bit, if you choose to do it, is my Mount Gregmore. And as we all know, Mount Rushmore is a top four. Mount Gregmore is a top five plus honorable mentions. I have available.
We don't have any of those here.
I want it. I don't care what the topic is.
All right, so
is it a top five or is it a Mount Gregmore? Are those the same thing?
It's a Mount Gregmore of overrated foods.
But is it top?
We literally just did this yesterday.
No.
I thought you did fajitas or something.
Give the man a chance.
No, you did.
Fajitas were overrated.
You did smells, food, taste, the whole thing.
Yeah, you did
yes.
foods that smell yeah. better and yeah. then let you down.
Right.
So my category is totally
yeah,
different.
This is all totally different.
It's overrated foods.
I insist. What I smell is not a fajita, my friends. What I smell is the top five disguised as a Mount Greg Moore.
Mount Greg Moore.
And you're not going to sneak it past me. Which is this? Are we going from the bottom?
Yeah, yeah.
Number five?
Yeah, find out Greg's Mount Greg Moore. Coming up next.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.